Okay, let's get into the Bible before it gets too late. Acts chapter 1, and we're going to be reading in verse 13 and 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Tonight I'd like to speak about the subject of praying for missions and missionaries. You know, it's easy to just go through a list and pray for a bunch of names, but there are specific things the Bible talks about that you need to pray for missionaries. But let's first of all look at Acts chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, and it says, "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren." Let's just have a word of prayer before we get any farther into God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening that you've given to us, specifically dedicated to prayer. Lord, there's many needs, people that need to be saved. There's missionaries that we need to uphold in prayer. Lord, I pray that something would be accomplished through our time of prayer. I pray that you'd speak through me as I preach your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, I want to look at Acts chapter 1, verse 14. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." First of all, I want to look at the method and manner of prayer for a church. The method and manner of prayer for a church. First of all, I see that it is unified. Unified prayer. What does it say? It says, "These all continued with one accord." Now, that doesn't mean they were all pulling a cord. That meant they were all unified. One accord means they all were doing it together in a unified manner. That means that James and John weren't mad at each other. You know, Peter and Andrew weren't fighting with each other. That meant they were all unified. They were all praying. Why were they praying? Well, they were praying because there was a need. Why do we pray? We pray because there's a need. We come to prayer meeting not just because that's what Baptists are supposed to do. We don't come because we know it's just because we know it's important. We don't come so that people will not wonder why we weren't at Wednesday night. That's not why we come. We don't come because the pastor will call us if we don't come. No, we come because there is a need. And we come unified, all knowing there's a need to pray for. These all continued, all the disciples. They didn't skip out. They were all there. They were all praying. I also see something I just said, but another interesting note, these all. Not only was it unified, but it was everyone involved. You know, it wasn't just certain of the disciples. It was not just a few. It was everyone involved in prayer. And it's great to see a lot of people here tonight. Many churches, Wednesday night is the least attended service. It probably is even for Maquoneago Baptist Church. But should it be that way? Should it be that Wednesday night is the least attended time of prayer, time of service? No, it really shouldn't be, because prayer is one of the most important things in a church. Now, why were these disciples all praying together? Well, let's look at verse 4 of this same chapter, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them," this is Jesus, "that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence." Why were they together praying? They were praying because the Lord told them not to depart from Jerusalem until they were endued with power from on high, until they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And they realized, without the Holy Spirit, without the power of God, we can't do anything. We can't go out and be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And it's the same way with our missionaries. They can't go out without God's power. They need the Holy Spirit's power. Yes, they have the Holy Spirit, but they need intercessors like you and I to be upholding them in prayer. I know many times in South Africa, I could tell that people were praying for us. You know, as a missionary, you can't always specifically know, but there's certain times when you just sense that people are praying for you. And I'm sure you've heard other missionaries say that, but it really is true. We can sometimes sense when people are praying for us. And other times, you can also wonder, are people praying for us? It's a thought to consider. Are you upholding your missionaries in prayer? Why do they need your prayers? Well, let's just look quickly at Ephesians chapter 6. Book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Why do we need prayer? Why does our church, Maquoneago Baptist Church, need prayer? Why do our missionaries need prayer? Because they need the power of the Holy Spirit to conquer and to win spiritual battles. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I can think of one time I was out soul winning with Mashamo. Many of you have heard of Mashamo. And we were going to visit someone. And as soon as we got into this lady's house, she doused us with water, each one. She doused me with a pitcher, or just not, it wasn't really that much. But she threw water on me. And then when Mashamo walked in, she threw water on him. And as soon as she did that to him, she's like, he was like, "No, no, no, no." And he chased her out of the house. And I was like, "What's going on here?" And I realized she was doing some sort of witchcraft or something. And she was trying to put a spell on us or something. And the real reason was because she was a little bit mentally going crazy. But she also said she was trying to do witchcraft on us. But that just was a reminder that the devil is real. And there's people that are trying to use his power to conquer you. And it's interesting because this same young man, Mashamo, he lives in a family they probably would claim to be Christians. His sister claims to be born again, but they're really not real Christians. Like I said, there's 80% of people that claim to be Christians. Does that mean they're all Christians? No. Well, this young man, he lives in a house of nominal Christians. His one sister was at the Sangoma. The Sangoma is basically a witch doctor. There's the bad witch doctor, they call the witch doctor, and then there's the Sangoma. They're supposedly the good witch doctor. Now, you know, I don't really know how you can have a good and a bad witch doctor, but that's how they say it. And the witch doctor will put curses on people. In the Sangoma, people are supposed to go to the Sangoma to get the curse removed that the witch doctor put on them. And his sister was at the witch Sangoma, and before he left, before she left the Sangoma, the Sangoma said, "Now, do you have a brother? He's a little bit taller." And she's like, "Yes." And he said to her, "Well, someone put a curse on him." And what the Sangoma wanted was for her to pay him money to remove the curse. But she probably thought that something really needed to happen. And he has lots of pressure on him from his family to go the way of darkness to get the problems fixed in his life. And that's an example of all the pressure that these people live under. Yes, South Africa is one of the modern countries in Africa, but most of the people who claim to be Christians still go to the Sangoma or the witch doctor when they're sick or when they have financial difficulties or when their wife or their husband leaves them, because they're not relying on Jesus Christ. They're still relying on their traditional religions. And I say all that to say that we are fighting a spiritual battle. And the only way you can fight a spiritual battle is with spiritual means. You know, you need a, when you go to battle, you got to go with the right weapons. And we have to go to this, into the spiritual battle with the right weapons as well. So we've looked at the method and manner of prayer for a church. And now let's look at the prayer requests of a missionary. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. What should you pray? Now, we know how we should pray, but now we're going to look at what we should pray for. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." I see three prayer requests in these two verses that the Apostle Paul was asking the Thessalonian believers to pray for. First of all, he asked them to pray for the freedom of God's word. The freedom of God's word. He says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course." Basically, that God's word can go forth unhindered. Like I said, there are lots of spiritual roadblocks. There's lots of spiritual opposition in South Africa. The same way in all countries. Even here in Maquoketa, Wisconsin, there is spiritual opposition. It may not be readily identifiable to you, but there is spiritual opposition. The devil doesn't like it when people get saved. The devil doesn't like it when people grow spiritually. The devil doesn't like it when revival comes to a church. There's spiritual warfare. And we need to pray that God's word would go forth unhindered. And he says also that, we'll come to the second prayer request. He says, "And be glorified, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you." That brings me to the second prayer request. Pray that God's word would bring forth fruit, that people would be saved. Pray that God's word would bring forth fruit. He says, "even as it is with you." Now think about yourself. Are you saved? How did you get saved? Did you get saved by just picking up a Bible one day and reading it? Well, maybe you did. But most of us have been saved because somebody told us about Jesus. Somebody explained the gospel to us. Somebody cared enough about you to tell you how you can be saved. And if you think about it, in turn, you need to do something about that. Because someone shared the gospel with you, you need to go and share the gospel with somebody else. And he's saying, just like God's word brought forth fruit in your life, just like God's word was glorified in your life, you need to pray that it would be glorified in other people's lives. And the third prayer request I see is that the missionary would be delivered from Satan's hindrances. Verse 2, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Now, the deliverance from Satan's hindrances can include crime. We're praying for the Rainses. I hope you pray for the Rainses in Kenya for their safety. They live in a very dangerous neighborhood. And the devil would very gladly use a criminal to stop the work there in Thika, Kenya. The devil would very gladly like to have the missionaries hurt or killed or discouraged because he doesn't want them to reach the Africans, the Spanish, the New Mexico, people in New Mexico. He doesn't want them to be reached with the gospel. Satanic opposition. You know, we don't always know what the devil's trying to do, but we need to pray that God would stop the opposition of Satan in people's lives. Now, prayer cards are a very useful tool. But what do you do with your prayer card when you get it? Does it just get put on your bulletin board in your room and then it gets stuffed and you know, it just becomes a part of your wall, kind of like a decoration that you pass by every day and you never look at it? Or do you stick it in your Bible cover and you never see it again? You know, something like that. What do you do with your prayer cards? Do you pray for that missionary on there? Do you do something about it? You know, I hope you go to our table afterwards. Take a prayer card and pray for us. But don't just pray for the Roberts family in South Africa. Don't just say, Lord, please help the Roberts in South Africa. Amen. No, pray for the freedom of God's word. Pray that God's word would bring forth fruit, that people would be saved. Pray that we'd be delivered from Satan's hindrances. And pray that God would do a work in the hearts of people. Now, we don't have time to go there right now, but if you look at Acts chapter 16, we see the story of the Philippian jailer. You know, the devil was trying to do something there to stop the gospel from going forth. And Paul and Silas, they got put in jail. The devil was really trying to stop them. But God is able to work all things together for good to them that love God. And God worked it together so that an earthquake came and Paul and Silas were able to go away. Well, they didn't go away. They stayed there. The jailer was about to commit suicide. Instead of committing suicide, he was saved. God worked all those things together for good. Satan trying to do something to stop the work of God, God worked it out so that someone got saved and his whole family got saved and baptized. And a church was started there. What about you? What do you pray for? Do you pray for your missionaries like you ought to? Do you pray that God's word would go forth unhindered? Do you pray that God's word would bring forth fruit? Do you pray for deliverance from Satan's hindrances? And most importantly, do you pray for your missionaries? Do you take time out of your day to pray for your missionaries? Do you come faithfully to prayer meeting on Wednesday nights? And do you seriously pray that God would do a work? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to go into your word, to look at what you have for us. Lord, I pray especially tonight that as we pray, that we would seriously pray. Lord, that we would pray for our missionaries, that we'd pray for those that need to be saved, for the different needs of this church, and that we do it in a unified manner. Lord, I pray that we'd see more people out to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And Lord, I pray that you do a work in hearts so that people would dedicate more time to prayer each day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.